This morning is based on Divine Service Setting 4 from page 203 in our hymnals. You may follow along on the screen as we begin by calling to mind our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as His people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Out of his great love for us, God sent his only Son, Jesus, into our sinful world, to be born in flesh and live in our midst, to die for our sins, and to rise from the dead, giving us forgiveness and life. As a called and ordained servant of the word and at the command, and by the promise of our Lord Jesus Christ, I declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen. Friends, what we're going to do now is we're going to skip past the Kyrie and the Gloria in Excelsis. We're going to continue with the service of the word, the salutation, and the collect of the day, which is in the middle of page 4 in our service folders. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O Lord, as you came humbly as king into Jerusalem, and humbly as a king in our flesh, born into this world, set our eyes on your kingdom that is not of this world. Grant us the continued gift of faith, that we may humbly welcome and receive you as you come to us still in your word and sacraments. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. As we begin another church year, we return to the scene on Palm Sunday. Jesus enters Jerusalem in humble, yet kingly triumph. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. So the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. This is the gospel of our Lord. Friends, God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who brings to us the crown of salvation. For my message, the speed of salvation, even as we're going to be talking a little bit about our gospel lesson and Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey, hear these words again from Romans 13. Besides this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Well, friends, since we're talking about the speed of salvation, let's ask, what does speed get you? Those that say, well, maybe speed gets you where you're trying to go a whole lot faster. But not always. I was on my way into church yesterday afternoon, and I was in a line of some cars, and there was some guy that came up on the other lane behind us, and he must have, on one of the city streets, been going upwards towards 70 to try to get around us just in time to get to a red light. He probably got to his destination a whole 2 seconds before the rest of us did. But if you're wondering, as of January 1st, this is what speed will get you now in Pasco County. Now, this is, of course, plus court costs. Not too many tickets. Don't get pulled over too often for doing this, but a lot of tickets, I think the term they use is marked down. So you get one that says 6 to 9 miles an hour, it's going to cost you $129. 10 to 14 miles over is going to cost you $204. You decide to go a little faster than that? $279. And finally, for those at 20 to 29 over, $354. And if it happens in a construction or school zone, take out your calculators and multiply by 2. So for that last one there, that's over $700. Do they have your attention yet? But you know, city streets aren't the only place where speeding is a problem. You know, there's some of us amongst us like watching the stock cars, that NASCAR, they call it. And while you're out on the track, of course, you can go as fast as you're going to try to go. But with the problems that they've had on pit roads, as cars are coming in to get tires and fuel and whatever else, they have usually tried to limit, and almost always, on a lot of those racetracks, the speed limit is 60 miles an hour. That's why I chose the sign that I did. But if you're speeding on pit road in those stock car races, if the race is on a yellow flag, there's a problem, there had been an accident or something like that, then the cars will start going around in a long line, single file. But if you go speeding through the pits, you get to go to the tail end of that line once the race restarts. And trust me, they are watching the speed of every single racer. Now, that's only if it's yellow. If the race is actually going on, they will pull you into the pits, and this time you'd better be observing the speed limit. And a lot of times they'll just have you drive right on through, and then you can go back out and join the race. But the amount of time it costs you is massive. Down in St. Petersburg, where they've got the Indy cars that comes every spring, when you do a pit violation in that car race, you actually have to pull into your stall in the pit, stop, and then once you fully stop, you can go again. Costs you a lot of time. Is it really worth speeding? Well, especially, my friends, since we are in Advent, it's best that we remember that somehow, just remember the story of the tortoise and the hare, how that turned out. I remember a couple of Bugs Bunny cartoons about that where they made it a self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes, it isn't always the fast. And certainly Advent, even though it seems like when we focus on Christmas, there's never enough time. But when we focus on Advent, awaiting the birth of our Savior, it truly is a time for us to ponder what is happening. But unfortunately, we have just as much that reminds us about things going faster than going slower. It says, besides this, you know that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is now nearer to you than when you first believed. And I can promise you this. We are closer to our salvation than we were the last time we did the first Sunday in Advent. I honestly don't know, my friends, how many more Advents we have left. But the day is going to come when the answer is going to be zero. And this might be the year. And we need to be prepared for the coming of our Lord and Savior. And so to help us with the preparation, where does the gospel lesson for the first Sunday in Advent take us? Just this last Sunday, Christ the King took us to the foot of the cross, the story of the crucifixion of Jesus. Today we go to the story of Jesus on a donkey. Jesus being received by great crowds, this huge uproar where everyone in the city is asking, well, who is this? Because apparently they usually knew when dignitaries were coming into town, and there was usually a whoop and a holler that was made for them to make them feel welcome. After all, if it's one of the official people from the Roman government, maybe they'll be easy on that city the next time it comes around for taxation purposes. But here was this, and they didn't know about any dignitary coming in, and yet here's that same whoop and holler, people throwing their clothes on the road and laying out palm branches and waving them, and we have a little bit of, we do that ourselves the Sunday before Easter on Palm Sunday. But why go here? Why go to the story of Palm Sunday, my friends? Well, we might start because Advent is the season that we are waiting for our King of Kings. And even as Jesus was received as a king coming into Jerusalem, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, so we can receive him with great joy also. Also, he is the source of our salvation. But as we recall, he did not come as this huge dignitary. He came in the most lowly way possible. His parents, after Mary had given birth to him, when they had to go to the temple, and where it says you can make an offering of for the firstborn of either two turtle doves or two young pigeons, they had to give the poor person's offering, two young pigeons. They were very poor. It was so poor that Jesus had to be laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the only people that night that were told, that came in to discover what was going on about a Savior who has been born, Christ the Lord, were lowly shepherds. It's a way of reminding us that Jesus came not to look down on us as royalty, but as one of you, understanding all of our woes and our sorrows and all of the things that we go through in life because he is our Savior. But there is more. While Advent does mean, the term Advent simply means coming, it's come, Lord Jesus, and we are waiting for our Savior's return, there are times that the wait, especially when you go back to the time when Christ said, you know, if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come back, that you may be with me where I am. That wait may seem longer, like our Savior's making a worldwide tour on a donkey, and trust me, that's going to take a while. But finally, so we understand, Advent is an important season, but it's not the main event. The main event is something that has happened that is behind us and in front of us. It is behind us because the story of salvation was completed with the cross, the empty tomb, Jesus ascending into heaven. But it's ahead of us because our time of salvation is coming. And regardless of how that time of salvation comes to us, by some it comes to us by death. For one generation, it is going to be with the return of the Savior before they even die. Okay? That's what Advent is all about. And if you remember that first hymn that we sang earlier, one of the verses of that was focused on another part of that psalm. All of that about lift up your heads, ye everlasting doors, that came from what we call the Advent psalm, Psalm 24. It's the psalm right after the famous words of Psalm 23. And it says, well, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Which means what? Well, Advent is a season that we used to treat as one of those where one even wonders why we would even have Christmas trees in here. We treated it as a penitential season where we waited for that time for the Savior to come. But Advent, you need to be told that even if we're awaiting the birth of our Savior and his coming again, it's okay to take a peek. And I got a story that I can share from a gentleman who eventually became a pastor, but his name was Mark, and as a little boy, Mark and his brothers and sisters would always be awaiting that time in the morning when they could get up and open up their Christmas presents. The parents eventually had to strike a deal with them. Look, you can wake us up starting at 5 o'clock, but not any sooner. Well, one Christmas morning, it was about 3:30, and Mark was awake. And it was clear that he wasn't going to go back to sleep, and finally about 4 o'clock, the curiosity got the best of him, even though the parents always warned, no peeking. He snuck downstairs to try to see what he might be getting based on the presents that were around the tree that he knew would be there. So he goes and he starts to survey the situation, and he sees a particularly promising present laid up against the wall with his name on it. So he goes and he looks both ways to make sure there's still no one there, and starts to open up, take the tape off, and open up the wrapping paper along the end, and pulls it open just far enough to see that it's one of the presents that he wanted the most that Christmas. And he was excited, but he knew he had to put it back. So he's carefully putting things back on and laying it against the wall, and he even took a step back to make sure that it was exactly the way he had found it, and he went back to bed. Well, apparently the satisfaction got the best of him because he fell asleep. And finally, about 5:30, his parents were in the room saying, you need to get up. It's time to go down for presents. So Mark goes, follows him downstairs, and he looks around the tree and notices that all of his presents are gone. And there's a note on the Christmas tree that says, there will be no presents for Mark because he peeked. Mark reports, even from years and years later, that he never remembered a time in his life where he cried as hard and as long as he did over that. He always wondered, how did anybody find out? By the way, he found out, no, it wasn't his parents, it was his brother. That's what brothers are for, right? After several of the presents had been opened by everybody else, they finally asked Mark, do you understand what has happened now? And once he nodded his head and understood how important it was for us to wait for that time, and that it is worth waiting for, they went back and they got all of his presents, and everything worked out just fine. Well, as I said, you know, Advent has traditionally been a penitential season. We almost made it like a second Lent. And even if the focus has changed somewhat, and I think it's a change for the better, as we wait for our Savior, we do need to remember that what our wait was all about was Christ doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. With that in mind, what do we do? Well, it's more of a matter of what we don't do. There was a pastor who many, many years ago, towards the beginning of the service, had pieces of paper passed out to every person in the church. And before he even had a chance to sing the opening hymn, he said, now friends, I know that every one of you has got some sort of a sin that has been dragging you down. Now, I don't want you to be writing in a place where anybody else can see, but I want you to write that sin using as few words or as many as you want, and then I want you to crumple up that piece of paper, and I want you to hold it in your hand. You don't have to hold it up in the air, but keep it in your hand just like this. So they wrote and crumpled it up, put it in their hand, and then they sang the opening hymn. And then the confession of sins and all the different parts of the services and the reading of the scriptures. And he started his sermon, and he hadn't said a word about it. And some of the people had finally given up, but most of them knew, because he had said, I will tell you what this is all about eventually. Towards the end of his sermon, he said, all right, my friends, you may finally now open your hands. And for those that had done what he had asked, you know what happened? Most of them couldn't. Their hands had been clenched so hard and for so long, not only did their hand hurt, in some cases it was starting to get numb, they practically had to peel their hands back. I don't suggest you try that at home, but I promise you if you try it, the same thing is going to happen. The point could not be more clear. Do not try to hold on to the spiritual impediments that keep us in our lives and in our hearts from Jesus Christ. It's not only going to hurt, it's going to cripple you. And remember this, that as someone who has brought you the greatest gift of them all has come among us, not only should we get rid of that cripples us, we should spend with him as much time as we can in any way we can. A couple weeks ago, we passed out Advent devotional booklets that begin today. If somebody needs more copies, we can make some more after worship here. On Wednesday nights, and there will be four this year. There's usually only three. We're going to be spending 4 weeks over in the CLC. We'll have a meal about 6:30 Wednesday night. But then we're going to spend some extra time with our Lord and Savior as we prepare our hearts and our lives for the coming of our Lord again. Because you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, because salvation is nearer to you now than when you first believed. No matter how fast or slow you think it's coming, my friends, your salvation is near. Wait for it, because our Savior did all of that for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, we are now going to confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. It is up on the screen, or you can always find it on the inside back cover of the hymnal. Please stand as we confess our faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Friends, as we have been bidden to come and go up to the mountain of our Lord and to the house of our God, let us go in prayer, confidently believing that our Lord will both hear and give answer to our prayers. Mighty Lord, in this season of Advent and as we begin this new church year, may we, your people, continue to be a beacon of your light, a model of your love, speaking the truth of your word in love, calling the world to repentance and new life in your name. Help us always to walk in your paths. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may abandon the ways of darkness and sin and walk in the light of Christ, doing the good works of those whom he has redeemed with his precious blood, Lord and King, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, as your servant kingship was one of humbleness and mercy as you came to your people from your human birth to your entry into Jerusalem to your death on the cross, we give thanks that you still humbly yet mightily come to us today. Come to the wayward and erring. Come to those who have rejected your word. Come to those apathetic to your grace. Come to those who have yet to hear the saving good news of Advent hope and Christmas joy. And use us as your instruments through the gifts of your Spirit to bring them to the light of truth that they may follow you in faith. Lord and King, in your mercy. Mighty Lord, we live in a world and even a nation that has been paralyzed by fear, dissension, even terror. We cry to you to silence the voices of dissension and hate and bring peace to us and to all nations. Raise up good and faithful leaders in this and in every land who will respect and protect life as sacred, who will honor the sacred trust that is placed in them, who will serve to promote and defend liberty and justice for all peoples. Come amongst us, dear Lord. Come to the poor and outcasts that hope and joy may be found. And come to your church as you rekindle in us the joy of your presence that we may welcome you. Lord and King, in your mercy. Faithful Lord, you have marked us as your own in the waters of holy baptism. And as we begin anew our journey to recall the birth, revelation, suffering, and death and resurrection of our Savior, grant us the aid of your Spirit that we may walk all the days of our life, particularly through the difficult times, that we may be strengthened in faith, that we may be comforted in our sorrows, and that we may be given in the midst of sicknesses, whether we be the one that is going through such affliction or the families of those people, that we may find strength that comes only from you. We ask that your blessings would go with Bob Benke, along with Fernia Fuller, and also Tom Ogorzelek. We now lift up before you someone in our own lives that is in need of that comfort and peace that you give, that we now name in the privacy of our own hearts. Be their hope, patience, consolation, and strength. For all these things, O Lord, we pray, knowing that you, in your fatherly wisdom and care, will grant us what is good and right. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us, and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts, we also pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood, given to us to eat and to drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is my blood of the New Testament, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. We conclude with the closing collect. Please stand as we pray this prayer together. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of a new church year. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that throughout this year we may fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may always be righteous in your sight. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.